All right, here we go. So, this is Chapter 5, Diagon Alley. Harry woke early the next morning. Although he could tell it was daylight, he kept his eyes shut tight. It was a dream, he told himself firmly. I dreamed a giant called Hagrid came to tell me I was going to school for wizards. When I open my eyes, I'll be at home in my cupboard. There was suddenly a loud tapping noise. And there's Aunt Petunia knocking on the door, Harry thought, his heart sinking. But he still didn't open his eyes. It had been such a good dream. Tap, tap, tap. All right, Harry mumbled. I'm getting up. Harry sat, and Hagrid's heavy coat fell off him. The hut was full of sunlight. The storm was over. Hagrid himself was asleep on the collapsed sofa. And there was an owl wrapping its claw on the window, a newspaper held in its beak. Harry scrambled to his feet, so happy he felt as though a large balloon was swelling inside him. He went straight to the window and jerked it open. The owl swooped in and dropped the newspaper on top of Hagrid, who didn't wake up. The owl then fluttered onto the floor and began to attack Hagrid's coat. "Don't do that!" Harry tried to wave the owl out of the way, but it snapped its beak fiercely at him and carried on, savaging the coat. "Hagrid," said Harry loudly, "there's an owl!"
Pym, Hagrid grunted into the sofa.
What?
He wants paying for delivering the paper. Look in the pockets.
Harry's coat seemed to be made of nothing but pockets. Bunches of keys, slug pellets, balls of string, peppermint humbugs, tea bags. Finally, Harry pulled out a handful of strange-looking coins.
Give him 5 newts, said Hagrid sleepily.
Newts?
The little bronze ones.
Harry counted out 5 little bronze coins, and the owl held out his leg so Harry could put the money in a small leather pouch tied to it. Then he flew up through the window. Hagrid yawned loudly, sat up, and stretched.
Best be off today, Harry. Lots to do, lots to do. Gotta get her up into London to buy all your stuff for school.
Man, I hate doing that Hagrid accent.
Do you know, I wanted to tell you, he's Scottish. That's why he says things that are funny.
I know he's Scottish, but I can't do a Scottish accent.
Okay, but then you were complaining the last time about how stupid he sounds. It's a dialect. He's writing a dialect.
I know, but he sounds really stupid anyways.
Shut up, I like him.
What? He's the stupidest character.
He is not. You should hear my mom read him.
No, he's stupid, he's smelly, he's drunk, he's big, he's fat, he's gross. See, everything wrong with the world.
I love him. I'm just going to sit here. Tell me one of his lines, and I'll show you how to do it.
Okay, what he did. Best be off today. Lots to do today. Got to get up to London to buy all your stuff for school.
Best be off today. Say the other one.
Lots to do today. Got to get up to London to buy all your stuff for school. All right.
Anyway,
we're gone. I'll maybe change it. We'll see. Harry was turning over the wizard coins and looking at them. He had just thought of something that made him feel as though the happy balloon inside him had got a puncture. Hagrid. Said Hagrid, who was putting on his large boots. I haven't got any money, and you heard Uncle Vernon last night. He won't pay for me to go and learn magic.
Don't worry about that, said Hagrid, standing up and scratching his head. Do you think your parents didn't leave you anything?
But if their house was destroyed...
They didn't keep their gold in the house, boy. Nah, first stop is Gingrich's, Wizard Bank. Have a sausage. They're not bad cold. And I would say no to a bit of your birthday cake, neither.
Hey, don't do that.
Wizards have banks? Just the one, Gringotts, run by goblins, you see.
Harry dropped the bit of sausage he was holding.
Goblins? Yeah, you'd be so mad to try and rob it, I'll tell you. Never mess with goblins, Harry.
But isn't that a great accent? Alright, I'll do the stupid accent.
Yeah, it's best you'd be mad to try to rob it, I'll tell you that. Never mess with goblins, Harry. Gringotts is the safest place in the world for anything you want to keep safe. Except maybe Hogwarts. As a matter of fact,
I got to visit Gringotts anyway, for Dumbledore. Hogwarts business.
Hagrid drew himself up proudly.
He usually gets me to do important stuff for him, getting things from Gringotts. He knows he can trust me, see?
See, and this is where Dumbledore's really stupid, because yes, he can trust him. Hagrid is not going to do something, like, disloyal, but on the other hand, Hagrid is so stupid that he's going to let something spill. You know that, right?
Got everything? Come on, then.
Harry followed Hagrid out onto the rock. The sky was quite clear now, and the sea gleamed in the sunlight. The boat Uncle Vernon had hired was still there, with a lot of water in the bottom after the storm. How did you get here? Harry asked, looking around for another boat. Flew, said Hagrid. Flew?
Yeah, but we'll get back in this. Not supposed to use magic now that I've got you.
They settled down in the boat. Harry was still staring at Hagrid, trying to imagine him flying.
Seems a shame to row,
though, said Hagrid, giving Harry another one of his sideways looks.
If I was to speed things up a bit, would you mind not mentioning it to Hogwarts?
Of course not, said Harry, eager to see more magic. Hagrid pulled out the pink umbrella again, tapped it twice on the side of the boat, and they sped off towards land. Why would you be mad to try to rob Gringotts? Harry asked.
Spells, enchantments, said Hagrid,
unfolding his newspaper as he spoke.
They say there's dragons guarding the high security vaults, and then you gotta find your way. Gringotts is hundreds of miles under London, see? Deep in the underground. You'd die of hunger trying to get out, even if you did manage to get your hands on some of it.
Harry sat and thought about this while Hagrid read his newspaper, The Daily Prophet. Harry had learned from Uncle Vernon that people liked to be left alone while they did this, but it was very difficult. He never had so many questions in his life.
Ministry of Magic, messing things up as usual, Hagrid muttered, turning the page.
There's a Ministry of Magic? Wait, babe, are you there?
Yeah.
What's up?
I'm sorry,
Oh, okay, that's okay. Anyways. So, Harry's asking, there's a Ministry of Magic? Before he could stop himself.
Of course,
said Hagrid. I mean, Hagrid is so stupid, isn't he? Like, of course? How is Harry supposed to know anything about this world? He's never heard of it before. Not of course. Just say, yes, there is.
God.
They wanted Dumbledore for minister, of course. But he'd never leave Hogwarts, so old Cornelius Fudge got the job. Bungler, if there ever was one. So he pelts Dumbledore with hours every morning, asking for advice.
But what does a Ministry of Magic do?
Well, the main job is to keep it from the muggles that there's witches and wizards up and down the country.
Why?
Why? Blimey, Harry, everyone would be wanting magic solutions to their problems. Nah, we're best left alone.
At this moment, the boat bumped gently into the harbor wall. Hagrid folded up his newspaper, and they clambered up the stone steps down the street. Passersby stared a lot at Hagrid as they walked down the little town to the station. Harry couldn't blame him. Not only was Hagrid twice as tall as anyone, he kept pointing out perfectly ordinary things like parking meters, and saying loudly,
"See that, Harry? The things these muggles dream up, eh?"
"Hagrid," said Harry, panting a bit as he ran to keep up, "did you say there were dragons at Gringotts?"
"So they say," said Hagrid. "Crikey, I'd like a dragon."
"You'd like one?"
"Wanted one ever since I was a kid. And here we go."
They had reached the station. There was a train to London in 5 minutes' time. Hagrid, who didn't understand muggle money, as he called it, because he's an idiot, gave the bills to Harry so he could buy their tickets. People stared more than ever on the train. Hagrid took up two seats and sat knitting what looked like a canary yellow circus tent.
"Still got your letter, Harry?"
he asked as he counted stitches. Harry took the parchment envelope out of his pocket.
"Good," said Hagrid. "There's a list of everything you need."
Harry unfolded the second piece of paper he hadn't noticed the night before and read.
"Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. Uniform. First year students will require 1. 3 sets of plain work robes, black.
2. One plain pointed hat, black, for day wear. 3. One pair of protective gloves, dragonhide or similar. 4. One winter cloak, black, silver fastenings. Please note that all pupils' clothes should carry name tags. Course books. All students should have a copy of each of the following. The Standard Book of Spells, Grade 1, by Miranda Goshock. A History of Magic, by Batilda Bagshot. Magical Theory, by Alberta Waffling. A Beginner's Guide to Transfiguration, by Emmerich Switch. 1,000 Magical Herbs and Fungi, by Fidelis Spore. Magical Drafts and Potions, by Arsenius Jigger. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, by Newt Scamander. The Dark Forces, A Guide to Self-Protection, by Quentin Trimble. Other equipment, 1 wand, 1 cauldron, pewter Sanders size 2, 1 set of glass or crystal files, 1 telescope set, 1 brass scales. Students may also bring an owl or a cat or a toad. Parents are reminded that first, I love the toad. Parents are reminded that first years are not allowed on their own broomsticks. Can we buy all, oh, sorry, wrong accent. Can we buy all this in London? Harry wondered aloud.
If you know where to go, said Hagrid.
Harry had never been to London before. Although Hagrid seemed to know where he was going, he was obviously not used to getting there in an ordinary way. He got stuck in a ticket barrier on the underground and complained loudly that the seats were too small and the trains too slow.
I don't know how muggles manage without magic, he said as they climbed down a broken down escalator
that led up to a bustling road lined with shops. Hagrid was so huge that he parted the crowd easily. All Harry had to do was keep close behind him, but he didn't want to because Hagrid smelled so badly. They passed bookshops and music stores, hamburger restaurants and cinemas, but nowhere that looked as if they could sell you a magic wand. This was just an ordinary street full of ordinary people. Could there really be piles of wizard gold buried miles beneath them? Were there really shops that sold spellbooks and broomsticks? Might this not all be some huge joke that the Dursleys had cooked up? If Harry hadn't known that the Dursleys had no sense of humor, he might have thought so. Yet somehow, even though everything Hagrid had told him so far was unbelievable, Harry couldn't help trusting him.
This is it, said Hagrid, coming to a halt.
The Leaky Cauldron. It's a famous place. It was a tiny, grubby-looking pub. If Hagrid hadn't pointed it out, Harry wouldn't have noticed it was there. The people hurrying by didn't glance at it. Their eyes slid from the big bookshop on the one side to the record shop on the other, as if they couldn't see the Leaky Cauldron at all. In fact, Harry had the most peculiar feeling that only he and Hagrid could see it. Before he could mention this, Hagrid had steered him inside. For a famous place, it was very dark and shabby. A few old women were sitting in the corner, drinking tall glasses of sherry. One of them was smoking a long pipe. A little man in a top hat was talking to an old bartender, who was quite bald and looked like a toothless walnut. The low buzz of chatter stopped when they walked in. Everyone seemed to know Hagrid. They waved and smiled at him, and the bartender reached for a glass, saying, "The usual, Hagrid."
"Can't, Tom, I'm on Hogwarts business," said Hagrid, clapping his great hand on Harry's shoulders and making Harry's knees buckle.
"Good Lord," said the bartender, peering at Harry. "Is this, can it be?"
The Leaky Cauldron had suddenly gone completely silent and still.
"Bless my soul," whispered the old bartender. "Harry Potter, what an honor."
He hurried out from behind the bar, rushed toward Harry and seized his hand, tears in his eyes.
"Welcome back, Mr. Potter, welcome back."
Harry didn't know what to say. Everyone was looking at him. The old woman with the pipe was puffing on it without realizing it had gone out. Hagrid was beaming. There was a great scraping of chairs, and the next moment Harry found himself shaking with hands with everyone in the Leaky Cauldron.
"Doris Crawford, Mr. Potter, so can't believe I'm meeting you at last."
"So proud, Mr. Potter, I'm just so proud. Always wanted to shake your hand. I'm all of a flutter."
"Delighted, Mr. Potter, I can't tell you. Diggle's the name, Dedalus Diggle."
"I've seen you once before," said Harry, as Dedalus Diggle's hat fell off in excitement. "You bowed to me once in a shop."
"He remembers me," cried Dedalus Diggle, looking around at everyone. "Did you hear that? He remembers me."
Harry shook hands again and again. Doris Crockford kept coming back for more. A pale young man made his way forward, very nervously. One of his eyes was twitching.
"Professor Quirrell," said Hagrid. "Harry, Professor Quirrell will be one of your teachers at Hogwarts."
"Potter," stammered Professor Quirrell, grasping Harry's hand. "Can't tell you how pleased I am to meet you." "What sort of magic do you teach, Professor Quirrell?"
Defense against the dark arts," muttered Professor Quirrell, as though he'd rather not think about it.
"Not that you need a Potter," he laughed nervously.
"You'll be getting all your equipment, I suppose. I've got to pick up a new book on vampires myself."
He looked terrified at the very thought. But the others wouldn't let Professor Quirrell keep Harry to himself. It took almost 10 minutes to get away from them all. At last, Hagrid managed to make himself heard over the bat ball.
"Must get on. Lots to buy. Come on, Harry."
Doris Crockford shook Harry's hand one last time, and Hagrid led them through the bar and out into a small, walled courtyard, where there was nothing but a trash can and a few weeds. Hagrid grinned at Harry.
"Told you, didn't I? Told you he was famous. Even Professor Quirrell was trembling to meet you. Mind you, he's usually trembling."
"Is he always that nervous?"
"Oh yeah, poor bloke. Brilliant mind. He was fine while he was studying out of books, but then he took a year off to get some first-hand experience. They say he met vampires in the Black Forest. There was a nasty bit of trouble with a hag. He's never been the same since. Scared of the students, scared of his own subject. Now, where's me umbrella?"
Vampires? Hags? Harry's head was swimming. Hagrid, meanwhile, was counting bricks in the walls above the trash can. 3 up, 2 across, he muttered.
"Right, stand back, Harry."
He tapped the wall 3 times with the point of his umbrella. The brick he had touched quivered, it wiggled, and in the middle a small hole appeared. It grew wider and wider. A second later, they were facing an archway large enough even for Hagrid, an archway onto a cobbled street that turned and twisted out of sight.
"Welcome," said Hagrid, "to Diagon Alley."
He grinned at Harry's amazement. They stepped through the archway. Harry looked quickly over his shoulder and saw the archway shrink instantly back into the solid wall. The sun shone brightly on a stack of cauldrons outside the shop, near shop. "Cauldrons, all sizes, copper, brass, pewter, silver, self-stirring, collapsible," said a sign hanging over them.
"Yeah, you'll be needing one," said Hagrid, "but we got to get your money first."
Harry wished he had about 8 more eyes. He turned his head in every direction as they walked up the street, trying to look at everything at once. The shops, the things outside them, the people doing their shopping. A plump woman outside an apothecary was shaking her head as they passed, saying,
"Dragon liver, 17 sickles an ounce, they're mad."
A low, soft hooting came from a dark shop with a sign saying, "Aelop's Owl Emporium, Tawny, Screech, Barn, Brown, and Snowy." Several boys of about Harry's age had their noses pressed against a window with broomsticks in it.
"Look," Harry heard one of them say, "the new Nimbus 2000, the fastest ever."
There were shops selling robes, shops selling telescopes, and strange silver instruments Harry had never seen before. Windows stacked with barrels of bat spleens and eel's eyes, towering piles of spell books, quills and rolls of parchment, portion bottles, and globes of the moon.
"Gringotts," said Harry.
They had reached a snowy white building that towered over the other little shops. Standing beside its burnished bronze doors, wearing a uniform of scarlet and gold, was...
"Yeah, that's a goblin," said Hagrid quietly as they walked up the white stone steps towards him.
The goblin was about a head shorter than Harry. He had a swarthy, clever face, a pointed beard, and, Harry noticed, very long feet and fingers. He bowed as they walked inside. Now they were facing the second pair of doors, silver this time, with the words engraved upon them. "Enter, stranger, but take heed of what awaits the sin of greed. For those who take but do not earn must pay most dearly in their turn. If you seek beneath our floors a treasure that was never yours, thief, you have been warned, beware of finding more than treasure there."
"Like I said, you'd be mad to try and rob it," said Hagrid.
A pair of goblins bowed them through silver doors, and they were in a vast marble hall. About 100 more goblins were sitting on high stools behind a long counter, scribbling in large ledgers, weighing coins in brass scales, examining precious stones through eyeglasses. There were too many doors to count leading off to the hall, yet more goblins were showing people in and out of these. Hagrid and Harry made for the counter.
"Morning," said Hagrid to a free goblin. "We've come to take some money out of Mr. Harry Potter's safe."
"You have his key, sir?"
"Got it in here somewhere," said Hagrid,
and he started emptying his pockets over the counter, scattering a handful of moldy dog biscuits over the goblin's book of numbers. The goblins wrinkled his nose. Harry watched the goblin on the right weighing a pile of rubies as big as glowing coals.
"Got it," said Hagrid at last, holding up a tiny golden key.
The goblin looked at it closely.
"That seems to be in order."
"And I've got a letter here from Professor Dumbledore,"
said Hagrid importantly, throwing it out his chest.
"It's about the you-know-what in Vault 713.
The goblin read the letter carefully.
"Very well," he said, handing it back to Hagrid. "I will have someone take you down to both vaults. Griffith?"
Griffith was yet another goblin. Once Hagrid had crammed all the dog biscuits back inside his pockets, he and Harry followed Griffith toward one of the doors leading off to the hall.
"What's the you-know-what in Vault 713? Harry asked.
"Can't tell you that," Hagrid said mysteriously. "Very secret. Hogwarts business. Dumbledore's trusted me. More than my job's worth to tell you that."
Griffith held the door open for them. Harry, who had expected more marble, was surprised. They were in a narrow stone passageway, lit with flaming torches. It sloped steeply downward, and there were little railway tracks on the floor. Griffith whistled, and a small cart came hurling up towards the tracks, on the tracks towards them. They climbed in, Hagrid with some difficulty, and were off. At first, they were just hurtling through a maze of twisty passages, all alike. Harry tried to remember left, right, middle fork, right, left, but it was impossible. The rattling cart seemed to know its own way because Griffith wasn't steering. Harry's eyes stung as the cold air rushed past them, but he kept them wide open. Once, he thought he saw a small burst of fire at the end of a passage, and twisted around to see if it was a dragon, but too late. They plunged ever deeper, passing an underground lake where huge stalactites and stalagmites grew from the ceiling and floor. "I never know," Harry called to Hagrid over the noise of the cart. "What's the difference between a stalagmite and a stalactite?"
"Stalagmite got an M in it," said Hagrid, "and don't ask me questions just now. I think I'm going to be sick."
He did look very green, and when the cart stopped at last behind a small door in the passage wall, Hagrid got out and had to lean against the wall to stop his knees from trembling. Griffith unlocked the door. A lot of green smoke came billowing out as it cleared, and as it cleared, Harry gasped. Inside were mounds of gold coins, columns of silver, heaps of little bronze newts.
"All yours," said Hagrid.
"All Harry's. It was incredible. The Dursleys couldn't have known about this, so they have had it faster than blinking. How often they complained about how much Harry cost them to keep. And all this time there had been a small fortune belonging to him buried deep under London." Hagrid helped Harry pile some of it into a bag.
"The gold ones are galleons," he explained. 17 silver sickles to a galleon and 29 newts to a sickle. It's easy enough."
"Right, that should be enough for a couple of terms. We'll keep the rest safe for you." He turned to Griffith.
"Vault 713 now, please, and can we go more slowly?"
"One speed only," said Griffith.
They were going even deeper now and gathering speed. The air became colder and colder as they hurled round tight corners. They were rattling over an underground ravine, and Harry leaned over the side to see what was down at the dark bottom, but Hagrid groaned and pulled him back by the scruff of his neck. Vault 713 had no keyhole.
"Stand back," said Griffith importantly.
He stroked the door gently with one of his long fingers and it simply melted away.
"If anyone but a Gringotts goblin tried that, they'd be sucked through the door and trapped in there," said Griffith.
How often do you check to see if anyone's inside?" Harry asked.
"About once every 10 years, said Griffith with a rather nasty grin.
Something extraordinary had to be inside this top security vault, Harry was sure, and he leaned forward eagerly, expecting to see fabulous jewels at the very least. But at first he thought it was empty. Then he noticed a grubby little package, wrapped up in a brown paper, lying on the floor. Hagrid picked it up and tucked it deep inside his coat. Harry longed to know what it was, but knew better than to ask.
Come on, back in this infernal cart, and don't talk to me on the way back. It's best if I keep my mouth shut,
said Hagrid. One wild cart ride later, and they stood blinking in the sunlight outside Gringotts. Harry didn't know where to run first, not that they had a bag full of money. He didn't have to know how many galleons there were to a pound to know that he was holding more money than he'd ever had in his whole life. More money than even Dudley had ever had.
Might as well get your uniform, said Hagrid, nodding towards Madame Milken's robe for all occasions. Listen, Harry, would you mind if I slipped off for a pick-me-up in the Leaky Cauldron? I hate them Gringotts carts.
He did look a bit sick, so Harry entered Madame Milken's shop alone, feeling nervous. Baby, there's quite a bit left of the chapter. Do you mind if we stop it here? Carrie? Okay, I think you've fallen asleep, so I'm going to stop it here. Oh, you haven't? Do you mind if we stop here? Okay, because there's quite a bit left in the chapter, it seems.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, so this is the end of, we're on page 50, just so I remember. Okay.